I was just talking with Craig this morning that this is always one of my favorite sermons of the year because it is such a great reminder of how blessed we are, not only in this country, but more importantly as believers. The Lord blesses us in so many ways. If you'll open your Bibles up to this morning's scripture reading, we are going to read from the book of Psalms. So we are in Psalms and chapter 103, and we will be reading the first 13 verses. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 13, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, and you are so gracious and so merciful to us. We do not deserve it, Lord, and yet you love us so much that you gave such a great sacrifice that we can know you, Lord, and look forward to spending eternity with you, Lord. And even in this lifetime, as we still live in a sin-filled world and we still commit those sins, you are still so quick to forgive us. And again, Lord, we just do not deserve it, but you graciously give it to us anyways, and for that we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you this morning that we have the chance to be able to come here and to sing these praises unto your great name and to read from your holy word. I just pray now that as Pastor Craig delivers this special message that you've placed on his heart, that we would be open to receive it, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be moving in and through us, and that we would not only today, but every single day of our lives, remember what it is that you have done for us and what it is that you do for us each and every single day until that day that we get to come home to you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Ron. Where did that jar of praises? Oh, Ed Steele and everybody else's blessings. Let's have that up front here.
Anybody else didn't get one in here? All right. It's not necessary, but just a neat visual. I'm not going to be reading all those, okay? Just so you know, not today. Not today during the service. I may sneak in here tomorrow and read them, but. But anyway, all right, what are we doing here today? Thanksgiving. We're going to take a little departure from our Thessalonians study and pick it up, actually finish it up, Lord willing, next week. But today we're going to focus our time on giving thanks to God.
There are lots and lots of passages that deal with praising God and giving Him thanks. But as I said earlier, I guess even during prayer, there's something special about this week or this day, Thanksgiving Day, set aside in our year that kind of forces us to remember. We are forgetful people, and it allows us to focus on that. And I got to tell you, while there are lots of passages that talk about thanking God and praising Him, this Sunday, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, is one of my favorite Thanksgiving passages to preach, because we can focus entirely on that. Day in our calendar year to just kind of take an inventory of our lives. Now, to many of us, the word inventory comes with some negative connotations. I used to work at a furniture store, and we had one day a year in that furniture store where it was dedicated to taking an inventory of every stick of furniture on the showroom floor, every piece and part in the warehouse. And it was a long, long day, a frustrating day. In fact, we'd come in early in the morning, and we wouldn't leave sometimes until late at night. And I remember going home and laying in bed and still counting. And in all my years of doing inventory, I have found that there are really only three kinds of people: those who know how to count and those who don't. And now you know where I fall in that, right? Again, the end of the day, everything is just a blur. Well, for many of us, the word inventory does come with some negative connotations, but really that is exactly what giving thanks to God is. It's the counting of our blessings, as we've sung this morning. Counting, really, of those things that God has done in our lives and taking an inventory of our lives. That is what Psalm 103 is really doing. And as believers in Jesus Christ, it's not frustrating, it's not a burden, it's not confusing, really, it's inspiring. It's joyous, it's exciting, and I hope it's humbling. I hope it's humbling as we take account of all that God did and does and will do in our lives. And that is why one of the largest books in our Bible, the book that has the most chapters and the longest chapter, a book of 150 songs with the dominant focus of praising God. That is why we have the book of Psalms. That is why Matt Redman can write a song called 10,000 Reasons to Praise the Lord and still not exhaust the topic. That is why there is a whole genre of contemporary Christian music, worship music, called praise music. As God's children inventory their lives, they can recognize just how inspiring, how joyous, how exciting, and how humbling it is to count all that God has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. And so this morning, so that you and I, through this week, can better recognize our blessings, okay, so that we can get an accurate count of the ways that God does so, I've consolidated blessings into six categories this morning, okay? And this is not exhaustive by any stretch of the imagination. I know we can come up with other categories, okay? But I've alliterated them, and they all start with P, and I ran out of P words, so there's six. That's not the truth. They do start with P, but I didn't run out. I probably could have come up with more P words. But I've put them into these categories, and my hope is that as we look at these different categories, they'll help us to remember the varying degrees of ways that God truly blesses us. And that way we can properly give Him thanks. Now, the definition of a blessing is this: it is the enjoyment of God's divine favor. That's what a blessing is. It's the enjoyment of God's divine favor. Blessings aren't just about stuff, okay?
It's about being able to enjoy all, material and immaterial alike, all things that we have from our Lord. And more often than not, they don't have anything to do with material things, all right? But our subject this morning is count your blessings. And using Psalm 103 this morning as our starting point, the very first category of blessings we're going to look at is blessings of provision. Blessings of provision. This is probably the easiest category for us to think of things for which to be thankful. Psalm 103 actually lists provisions of health, provisions of safety, provision of food, strength. It also lists provisions of mercy and forgiveness, grace and redemption. This, again, is probably the easiest category for us to count. But, and this may sound like double talk, it is also one of the easiest for us to neglect, to take for granted. It's easy to think of those things, those material things and even spiritual things that the Lord provides for us. But because they're in such abundance, we often take those very things for granted. Our health, our safety, our food, our strength, our jobs, our homes, our families, the sunrise, the air we breathe, the water we drink, forgiveness, grace, mercy, redemption. Sometime this week, maybe right now, take a deep breath. A deep breath and just think of how blessed you are through God's provision to you. Don't neglect it. Don't forget it. Our Daily Bread devotional had this as an example, and I think it's actually from a couple years ago. But it said, in the final major historic acts of the Old Testament, as described by Ezra and Nehemiah, God allowed the people of Israel to come out of exile and finally settle in their homeland again and rebuild Jerusalem, to come together as families and a nation, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the walls. And it was during that time, it was through the prophet Malachi, who was likely a contemporary of Nehemiah, God reminds Israel, he says, I have loved you. And all this had been all this provision was proof of how God had loved them. And he tells them through the prophet Malachi, I have loved you, says the Lord. And what was Israel's response? Here's how they responded to God telling them, I have loved you. They ask, how have you loved us? After everything that God had done, they had so quickly taken it for granted, neglected to thank him for his love. God's blessings of provision, again, they're some of the easiest for us to recognize and remember and count, but they're also some of the easiest for us to neglect. So take some time this week and thank the Lord for his physical provision. Let me read you a passage from Colossians chapter 1. It's verses 16 and 17. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the reason that you and I exist in the first place. He is the reason we are alive. He is the reason that we continue to live, that we eat, that we breathe, that we move. He is the reason for any health, regardless of the degree, any health at all. He is the reason for any friends, any help, any money, any blessings. He is the reason. Thank him for his physical provision. Secondly, thank the Lord for his spiritual provision. Our Lord knows that we are forgetful. In fact, the whole point of communion, the ordinance that the Lord established, was so that we could remember our spiritual provision. The fact that we are sinners. We are by nature enemies of God and separated from Him. But by God's provision, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, our sin bearer. Christ paid the penalty of sin for you and I. He rose again from the dead, not only to prove who He was, but to prove that He can offer you life too. And He offers it. It's available to man as a gift. And through simply trusting in Him, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We are spiritually and physically blessed. In Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, For He forgives all our iniquities. Verse 4, He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 8 says, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Verse 12 says, As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Thank the Lord through Jesus Christ for His blessings of provision, both material and spiritual. The second category is blessings of prosperity. These are those things that are actually beyond provision. Blessings of prosperity. Turn to Psalm 35. We're going to look at a few passages of Scripture here in Psalms this morning. We'll end back in 103 again, but Psalm 35 and verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27 says, Let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. And I know some translations, I think, have a different word than prosperity, but we're talking about those things that are above and beyond. God does love to give us even more than what we need. He loves to give us good things. He takes pleasure in rewarding us with things that we don't deserve. While you and I, we worship in a room that is comfortable in temperature, with amplified sound, cushioned seats, Bibles right in our laps, with a roof over our heads, without fear of arrest, there are many around the world who don't have any of those things. And I don't believe that this should bring us guilt, okay? For what we have is, it is from the Lord. Rather, I believe it should most definitely cause us to be thankful. Thankful. That's why He does it. To look upon the things and the freedoms around us and just be grateful to God for them. Thank the Lord for His material prosperity. I'll tell you, Janine and I have at home a painting on the wall. It's a big, beautiful painting that was given to us. But its only purpose, period. The only reason it is there is to hang on the wall and bring me pleasure as I look at it. That's prosperity. That is prosperity, right? That to have, there are people that don't have pictures. Okay? That is material prosperity. When was the last time we thanked God for running water? Because that's material prosperity as well. Electricity. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for your smartphone? We think about that, and I honestly think that sometimes they're more of a curse than they are a blessing. But they are, it is a blessing of prosperity. There's no way around seeing it as that. Thank the Lord for material prosperity. I don't think there's anything wrong. Thank the Lord for spiritual prosperity. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." We are both materially and spiritually prosperous. Thank the Lord. Thank Him for His blessings of provision, His blessings of prosperity. Thirdly, His blessings of promise. His blessings of promise. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. And these are those things, blessings of promise. These are those things that we can count on from our Lord. We can count on Him. Psalm 119, verse 89. It's a big psalm to navigate, isn't it? Verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to Your ordinances, for all are Your servants." God's word, and follow me through this for a minute, but God's word, God's promises to His children are as sure as gravity. They're as sure as gravity, as confident and comfortable as you can be right here in your chairs and not having to worry about maybe floating off of it and we'd be picking each other off the ceiling. As confident and comfortable as you are right now that gravity will continue to work, that's how confident we can be in God's promises. As confident and comfortable as you are right now that the earth will continue to revolve around the sun, that is how confident and comfortable we can be in God's promises to us. In fact, according to the verses that I just read you in Psalm 119, according to that passage, God's word, His promises, are even more faithful than gravity. They're even more faithful than the earth orbiting around the sun because it is His word that established those things. They continue to do what they do because God told them to. And so the biggest reason we can be confident and comfortable about the earth and gravity is because God controls it. He controls everything. And that is how confident we can be in His promises to us. The passage said, "Your word is settled." That means it's done. It's done. I said it, and so it is. He goes on, he says, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations." We can be confident in God's promises. So thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for His promises to us concerning the present. Now, I don't have time to name them all, and I'm guessing this jar is full of promises. Promises that God provides in the present, okay, that we can be thankful for. But by my estimation, there are at least 2,000 verses of Scripture that proclaim God's promises to His children. Here are just a few concerning the present. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That is a promise of the present and the future. But right now, no matter what we're going through, we can know God is with us in it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "He will help me in my time of need." James 1 says, "He will never change." Acts 1 says, "He will empower us." Jesus Himself said, "If you ask anything in my name, if you ask anything that I would ask for, I will give it to you." That is a promise of the present. Thank God for promises of the present, and thank the Lord for promises of the future. Okay? Here are just a few. Strength for tomorrow, eternal life, inheritance in heaven. In John 10:28, Jesus said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." In Revelation 21:4, it says, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." There will come a time. This is a future promise of God to His children. There will come a time then the pains that we're experiencing right now, emotional, financial, physical, whatever they are, they will be gone. They will be gone. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent or change His mind. Has He said, it's worded weird, okay? Bear with me. Has He said and will He not do? Or has He spoken and will He not make good?" And the implied answer is, of course He will. He will make good on everything He says. Thank Him for His promises. The fourth category this morning is blessings of probation. Blessings of probation. These are those things that come disguised in a trial or test. That is what probation is. And with these, we oftentimes don't see the blessing until we're on the other side of the test. But as a reminder right now, okay, even as we are going through the trials and tests of life, we can be thankful that God is allowing it. Psalm 26, verse 1 says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip." Then he goes on, he says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." And verse 7 of that passage says, "That I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works." In other words, he's saying, test me. Allow me to go through these trials so that on the other side, or even in the midst of them, Lord, I can proclaim of how great you are. I can tell others how thankful I am. In 3 months from now, it will have been 2 years since we first pulled the trigger on our building project. It has tested our patience. It has tested our integrity. It has tested our unity. It has tested our understanding, and it has tested our faith. But praise the Lord that He is allowing us to see blessings in and through it already. With each day that passes, our patience is forced to grow. With each day that passes, our unity has grown. With each day that passes, our loan amount gets smaller and smaller. With each day that passes, we have come to realize that this project is exactly on schedule. It is exactly on schedule, God's schedule. And with the things that we're going through personally, thank the Lord for allowing those trials, that testing. Because it is these trials, these tests, it is these times of probation that provide opportunity for us to grow spiritually. Thank God for allowing trials. Thank the Lord for growing our patience, because we all need that. I can assure you, we need to grow in our patience. But hurry, Bonnie says. Bonnie needs a little more growth than the rest of us. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. You're familiar with these verses, I'm sure. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Thank the Lord for growing our patience. Thank the Lord for growing our understanding. In fact, that passage in James continues. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Thank the Lord for growing our understanding. We can even ask him for understanding, and he will give us wisdom in it. Thank the Lord for growing our faith in him. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my mind and my heart, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. The fifth category this morning is blessings of punition. Punition is like punishment. It's like punishment, only its purpose is it's beyond that. Okay, punition is discipline. It's discipline. It is the righting of a wrong pursuit. And there are blessings that come from God's discipline. And I'll be honest with you, and you probably agree with me, these might be our least favorite blessings of all. All right? In fact, we might not even want to call discipline a blessing. But we have to, because it is during those times of being corrected that we gain some of the most beneficial blessings of all. I don't know if you've noticed this, maybe you have, but I noticed that the questions that I got wrong on tests and exams back in school, those are the ones. The ones that I got wrong are the ones that I learned the most from. I don't remember hardly any of the questions that I got right. But of those that I got wrong and those that needed to be corrected, the right answer is now locked in. I've got it. I've got it now. Along those same lines, the discipline that I received from my parents taught me much, much more about life than those things that I did right and nothing was said. Now, don't take that the wrong way. Don't set out to do things wrong, because I really want to learn that lesson, okay? No, the idea here is that correction is a blessing. It is a blessing. For without it, we would just continue in error. Think about those times in your Christian walk. Think about those times where God convicted you of a sin. Think about those times in your Christian walk where perhaps you even got caught in your sin and how it changed your direction from that point. Thank him for it. Not the sin, but the fact that he corrected us, that he convicted us. Thank the Lord that he cares. He cares enough to do it. Discipline, correction is what one does for someone he loves. Proverbs 13:24, a proverb my kids hate, says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him. But through that, through discipline from our Lord, we can understand he really cares about us. He wants to correct our path. Thank the Lord that he cares, and thank the Lord that he corrects. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Thank the Lord for his punitive blessings. How far off course might we be had we not been corrected at some point? So we've counted our blessings through the categories of provision, prosperity, promise, probation, and punition. But as we come to our sixth and final category, we need to understand that the only reason that we have all of the previous blessings is because of this last category. And we're going to close with it. The sixth and final category is blessings of privilege. Blessings of privilege. Turn back to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And let me read the last verse that Ron read in that passage. It's verse 13. It says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." And basically what he's saying is we are being equated to his children. God's children are blessed then with privilege. And the very first privilege is kind of redundant here, but the privilege of being his child. The privilege of being his child through the work of Christ on the cross and our trusting in him, we have become part of God's family, part of his household. In John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." With that, we have the privilege of being a child, but with that comes the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. The fact that we can now go to our Father and tell him our troubles, our trials, our cares, and he cares for us and he desires to help us. There's the privilege of prayer. And then there's the privilege, again, being a little redundant here, but the privilege of being blessed through his provision, through his prosperity, through his promises, through his probation and even his punition. And then there is the privilege of praise. Again, kind of redundant here, but we get to, as his children, praise him for all he has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. We can rightly thank him. Having looked at these few categories this morning, I pray that we might take an inventory of our lives sometime this week. Perhaps maybe as a family or as a couple, or maybe it's just you and God alone. Taking a deep breath sometime this week and just thinking, counting those blessings. And I pray that these categories that we've gone to will prompt some things perhaps that we tend to forget sometimes, okay? Thank him. Take that time. Take an inventory, and I think you will find it to be inspiring, joyous, exciting, and humbling. Psalm 103, verses 101 and 2 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, I am humbled by this morning. Lord, sometimes I know that I can be very prideful. I can think of all of the things that I've accomplished, all of the things that I have, all of the tests that I've passed. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to count those things and understand that they are only from you. Father, I pray for each of us here this morning, and my deep prayer, and I pray this for myself as well, is that I would take some time deliberately this week and even go through each of these categories and not make it a short time, but a long time, and take inventory of our lives and count all of the many ways that you have blessed us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to be your child. Thank you for the time and the place that you have put us right now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.